when we can expect to hear any new hits coming from Amy Jones. She'll fill us in when she joins us in about 15 minutes or so. Coming up now, though, we're chatting to the executive head of marketing and communication, Tsepo Letlo, from the GBVF Response Fund, just to share insights, firstly, how the fund has been doing since its first round of funding has begun. This is largely driven by the private sector. Tsepo will be filling us in, providing us with some context. And then in terms of fighting GBV, what are his thoughts around how we can dissolve or tackle what's been termed this toxic masculinity? He joins us next.
The Honest Truth with Benito Vergatini. Smile 90.4 FM.
Joining us to share insights on how dissolving toxic masculinity within the home, in fact, could be the key to fighting gender-based violence and femicide, is the executive head of marketing and communication at the GBVF Response Fund 1, Tsepo Sefotlelo. Mr. Sefotlelo, good evening and thank you so much for your time.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity and it's great to be here.
Just remind us, and by way of context, what is the purpose of the GBVF Response Fund 1, Tsepo?
Yeah, so if you remember, at the height of lockdown, right, there was a lot of stories in the news of women being there was a story of a lady who was found pregnant, hung. There were a lot of stories of gender-based violence and femicide that were in the news. So the women from the International Women's Federation of South Africa, who are some of South Africa's leading businesswomen, approached the president to say, there's an urgent need for a coordinated and well-resourced strategy to combat gender-based violence. And that's when the president, you know, through a couple of meetings and discussions, then started the Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Response Fund in February of 2021, where the private sector, civil society, faith-based organization, but mostly led by the private sector, we're going to pool resources in terms of funds and really getting the best minds around the table to really wage a coordinated and a well-funded effort in fighting gender-based violence and femicide.
And would the funds raised, would those go to the related organizations to assist in their efforts?
Absolutely. So what happened is, as the fund started collecting money from the private sector and other organizations, they went out on what is called a request for proposal one. So the request said, we are looking for community-based organizations that have been doing work, gender-based violence work and femicide for whatever in years across the country. And the call for proposal calls for two things, because as a fund we are based on six pillars, and two of those pillars for the request for proposal wanted to look at prevention and rebuilding social cohesion and justice, safety and protection. So out of that request for proposal, we requested community-based organizations, which we call CBOs, to respond in terms of work that they do that focus on these two pillars. And we got about 420 proposals, and out of that 420, 110 organizations across the country got an opportunity, and they were selected, and funds were distributed to them. So those community-based organizations have been doing work since June of last year, and in July they'll be due to give us their first annual report to say this has been working. But is that there's a lot of awareness now of the kind of work that they're doing, which is good, because then it means that there are more and more people that are seeing that there is organizations out there that are there to help survivors, victims of gender-based violence and femicide.
Following their reports in a few weeks' time, then, Tsepo, will this precipitate another round of funding, do you think?
Absolutely, it will. We will be going out on a RFP too, which is the second round of request proposal. But what you might find is that we will extend the pillars that we'll be focusing on, right?
Right.
Well, we are focusing on the two now, so you might find that we'll bring in more of the pillars. but also it's about getting that full report. While we have been checking on them regularly, the ones that we found that we are funding in Round 1, at least a year on, it's going to give us a full report of exactly what's been happening, what works, what didn't work, and then when we go out with the second round, we are then able to widen the net.
Yeah, that report will be particularly valuable, especially in the wake of the recent police stats, which indicates that contact crime is increasing, and that also includes sexual offences. So on the face of it, Tsepo, yep, would appear that sexual violence seems to be on the increase.
At face value, it does, but we do need to do a deep dive in terms of exactly what's behind that, because what you could find is that more cases are now being reported,
yep,
rather than they're actually on the increase. Because some of the work that we've been doing as well, we've been encouraging people to stop keeping silent, you know? And that's one of the unfortunate consequences of why gender-based violence has reached the current level, is that people, whether it's in the family, whether it's in the workplace, in corporate, or it's in state-based organizations, anywhere, the first point of call, unfortunately, when something like this happens, when somebody brings it to a person who's in a leadership position, the automatic thing is to say, oh, let's keep it under wraps. You know, we don't want to embarrass the family. We don't want to embarrass the organization. You know, let's keep it quiet. You know, we don't want to make a big deal out of this. That's unfortunately what it has. So we have been encouraging, to move away this quiet. When something like this happens. But obviously, we still need to do a deep dive to see. But it is encouraging that more and more people are reporting. But also, on the other hand, it's not a good place to be in to see that violent crime is on the up.
Mm. How do we even begin to tackle toxic masculinity? It's a difficult one and a complex one, particularly considering that we are socialized at home.
Absolutely. You know, and I think the key word that you use there is socialized. Right? As a society, we have to look how we socialize our boys, right? So things using word language like, oh, boys will be boys, men don't cry, don't show your emotions, you got to be aggressive if you want something, you got to go for it. If you think when you get older, when you're a teenager, it's all about how many girls have you been with, you know? So it's that kind of culture that we need to do away with. We've got to make it okay. We've got to let our boys know that actually to be a well-rounded human being, right? There's different facets to a human being. There's the physical side, there's the mental side, there's the emotional side. And all of those facets of a human being need to be well looked after. They need to be groomed. And so that's how we need to socialize our boys. Instead of always focusing on strength, on aggression, but we've got to focus on the other sides as well, so that we bring up boys that are well-balanced, that are respectful, but are not always, who will sometimes use their head when required, who will lead with their heart when required, who will lead with their emotion when required, but not always to be physical and aggressive. Mm. And I think that's one of our pillars talks to prevention, so it's about programs that we are going to implement that are going to look after the boy child to say, guys, we need to do differently as boys. Let's look after the whole aspect of what makes a human being and not just focus only on the aggression side and the physical side of things.
Tsepo, what guidance does the National Strategic Plan provide around that?
Well, actually, the plan is a Bible for the fund. The pillars, our six pillars that we talk about actually emanate from that plan, right? But it's about the fund is there to implement and to make sure that it is realized, right? And as we go, as the year goes on, obviously more and more funding will be raised, we'll be getting more resources, and that's why you see more of our more programs that we are going to be providing funds for. They will start expanding and looking at more pillars. So it actually plays an absolutely critical role, because it says a number of things, and it gives us a guidance in terms of why are women unfortunately facing the situations that they're currently facing. You know, some women, unfortunately, it's an issue of, you know, it's the breadwinner that's abusing them, right? So they don't have opportunities for themselves. So we need to think of things like pay parity, things like opportunities. For example, one of the major things that came about when it was the increase during lockdown was that women, in terms of women losing their jobs, women were more affected than men in terms of losing their jobs and economic opportunities during COVID, right? And already we know that women, because of historical issues, we're already on the back foot when it comes to economic opportunities. So it's a really well-rounded document that says there's a number of things that we need to look at society in order for us to end gender-based violence and femicide.
In terms of accountability around the implementation of the NSP, lastly, how can our listeners, how can civil society ensure that that plan, in fact, is implemented?
I think the first part is, as a country and as a society, we need to understand that the issue of gender-based violence and femicide in South Africa is beyond a crisis, right? It's happening significantly more than we can ever anticipate. So the first thing is that all of us, we need to hold each other accountable. We need to call it out. As I said earlier, on this thing of keeping silent when somebody comes to report something like this, we need to take action and really have a zero tolerance to gender-based violence and femicide. Secondly, having an organization like the Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Response Fund that is going to go out there and drive raising much needed money and funds from corporate, from civil society, and then coordinating the effort, it's really going to assist us in getting to a place where we'll start bringing, where we'll start fighting the scourge and really bringing down the numbers, and hopefully in future where we're going to be ending it. But I think the issue of accountability is leaders need to be held accountable if they're not doing the right things, they're implementing the right strategies and plans and issues that are going to assist us in combating this. And it's up to all of us, right? And I think having a fund like this, it's been an excellent way to really start and say, let's do something.
Holding us all to account, certainly, and for us as leaders and influencers at home, Tsepo, what is your words of advice?
Well, I think, in homes, there are people that are sitting in home that are going through the most, right? Whether it's a girl child, it's a boy child, or it's a woman, or even some instances where it's a man that's being abused. There are ways and avenues. Find somebody that you can speak to. Let's really stop keeping this a veil of secrecy on this issue. You know, let's start exposing it. Let's start talking about it. Right. And as I said, the boy child. Let's start educating and treating our boys differently in terms of the kind of men that we want to raise.
Tsepo Sefotlelo, Executive Head of Marketing and Communication at the GBVF Response Fund 1. Appreciate your time and your insights on this, Tsepo. Thank you so much for sharing it with us this evening. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Playing more of the songs you love.
That's what we mean by better music and more of it.
Smile 90.4 FM.